If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who is, the guest here has never been on the podcast before, but it's definitely a name that I've heard many times. One of the things that I do on the podcast is, over the years, I do kind of bonus content for people who support the show on Patreon. And a lot of what I ask them for the bonus questions is to recommend local artists or talk about a local record they really like and things like that. And the guest on this episode has been brought up a number of times, actually. I can't remember offhand which other local artists have recommended you, but you've definitely been a name that's come up a few times, which is kind of cool. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
Okay, yeah. My name's Sam Singer, and I write songs. I sing those songs, and I've been doing that for quite a bit of time, starting with Bar and Bat Mitzvahs and working my way up through the circuit to, I've been playing shows since I was like 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, a couple like, veers off, at some points. Like, one time I wanted to be a professional poker player, so I quit music for like a couple months, and then like, just like, not, didn't work out really.
Well, I assume not if you're still doing the music then, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I don't play poker, so.
Awesome.
That dream's dead. You know, I'm still doing that.
Cool, yeah, but, cool. And I guess the reason we're talking now is because you have a record that came out, I guess, a couple weeks ago at this point?
Yeah, it came out June 4th, so called Where the Rivers Do.
Awesome. And that's like a month ago, I guess. So yeah, it's still recent.
Yeah, just over a month.
Cool. And so I guess, you know, I've listened to the record. I have my thoughts about it. But how do you define this album? I mean, sonically, it's like one of the hardest questions that everyone hates answering is the sort of the genre, tagging yourself with a genre. But I mean, I've often seen you sort of referred to in the singer-songwriter, folk singer sort of vein. And there's definitely, to my ear, a lot of that on the record, but there's other stuff happening too. It's not just a folk record. Do you have sort of a way that you define it? If people hear you are a musician or you have a new record out, like how do you describe your sound?
Yeah, it's like probably the most difficult question, because like the easiest thing to say is folk, because you could just pretty much fit in anything under that umbrella. But I don't really like I like a lot of folk music. Like, it's definitely an influence to me, but I, I don't think I necessarily write songs in like, I mean, that's like so many, there's the traditional folk songs, you know, where like all these songs have like the same melodies and different stories and these like classic characters. And I don't think I really write like that, but you know, like that umbrella, I guess it's somewhere in there, but like also, I don't know. Man, I got a little veered off there, but, cause it's a pretty eclectic album.
Yeah. Even song to song, like, there's some significant differences.
Yeah. And I think that, I wouldn't say it was like, you know, an intentional thing to be like, I want to make, like an album that feels like, I don't know, I just wrote the songs and then it turned out one is like a country song, one is like a country song, one is one is a klezmer song, you know, one is maybe indie or soul influenced more so. And,
okay.
Because, you know, that's pretty much what I listen to. It's like, I mean, I try to not just make what I listen to as well, but it's tough. I also like feel like I adopt vocal styles of okay. who I listen to. And just depending on who I'm into at a certain time.
Is there, then with that adoption of vocal styles, do you think that there is a voice that you have on this record or on any of your other records that is sort of your true voice and it's not one that's sort of influenced by, I mean, it's probably hard not to be influenced by all the stuff you like, but is there sort of a more pure voice of yours that comes through sometimes?
I feel like it's pretty pure. I'm not trying to sound like anybody.
Of course, yeah.
But it's just kind of how it, I don't know, it's kind of like just how it goes, you know? You pick up like this, pick up that, you know, as you're going, and it's just like, you know, you're like becoming an amalgamation of all these things that you've seen, heard, or talked about with people. So I feel like, you know, it's an ongoing, you know, I feel like I sound like myself. I'm trying, the songs, I think, you know, but the next one, you know, I'm going to get closer to it, you know,
right.
And then the one after that, I'll get even closer to it.
It's like the perpetual goal, right? Is to find your own, who you are is, Well,
I'll find it one day.
I was going to ask about, you know, obviously, again, going to the folk thing and the singer-songwriter thing, how do these songs work? I'm assuming they're written sort of just you and a guitar or you and another instrument, putting them together.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have, on this record too, a lot more instrumentation. Like you mentioned, there's the klezmer influence, right? That's not necessarily something that's you hear on just a guitar and vocals. There's other stuff happening, quite a bit of other stuff happening. So how do these songs work? Do they work as solo acoustic songs as well? Or are some of them just sort of definitely more appropriately situated with a band or with backing musicians?
Totally. I think they all were, like you said, written with me and mostly guitar. I don't think I really wrote any songs on this album on a piano or anything else, but they were all written on a guitar and just me.
Yeah.
And I think it's doable, you know, but it's like once you, you know, do it with a band, it's tough to go back to just doing them like just myself. But I've done it, like I just went on a tour in like early to mid June, and it was me and Holly, who plays keys in my band, and okay. We went as a duo, and we had kind of like this warm-up gig in town like a month before, and just kind of like we went in and we didn't practice really, but just like, you know, the way we would play like with the band, you know, and it was like, okay, well, we can't really do this in like, we can't think of it so bandy, you know. There is like a different way to attack these songs, because like when you have the band, at least for me, you know, I feel like it's, you know, very supported. I feel more free. Like I mean, there's not, I don't feel like any pressure on me as as a player. You know,
well, that makes sense, because you got the whole group of you creating the music, and you can just focus on the words and obviously playing too, but
I mean, solo, I think it works.
Do the songs like on this record particularly, I guess, like you said, you wrote most of them on yourself and acoustic guitar. What is the process then from taking those sort of original ideas and then converting them into a full band thing? Because there's obviously a lot of other people playing on the record, and how much contribution do they have? How much do the songs sort of morph from the original format to what it becomes in the final version?
Absolutely. So for this album specifically, I wrote all the songs, and then I rented some like recording gear, and then I just like did demos for all the songs, and generally got like, excuse me, how I wanted them to, you can edit that, just kidding. But generally got like an idea of how I want them to go.
Okay.
And sent these demos of the album. I no drums in it, but sent them to my band. It was like, hey guys, listen to this. And my band is Ben Stokes, by the way, on drums, and Sam Farney playing bass, and Holly Stratton on the keys. And I sent it to these fine folks, and then we came together and probably worked on for a couple weeks.
Okay.
On them, and like I pretty much give them like for that, like for what they do, like Sam's bass, Ben on the drums, like and Holly, like I trust them like immensely. So it's like, you know, the song is, if the song is solid, you know, they could, I trust their instincts.
Sure.
And what, how they could support it.
Though I did not know enough. sidewalk or walking down the street.
Then, with all the orchestration and arrangements, I personally can't read sheet music.
Yeah.
And so that's why, and in previous records, I've worked with people who can. And for this one, Sam Fournier helped co-produce the record in the way of writing these arrangements with me. And he contributed some great ideas, like in the... yeah, strings and woodwinds, and like help me be able to verbalize or actualize ideas that I had. One lesson that I was taught was just by some teacher of life that comes at some point was that who knows a lot more about music than I.
Yeah.
Was that for strings and woodwinds to have an arrangement of written out is very important, and so and so with that we recorded all the it was a very like all for the budget really, like because we recorded the whole album in a day.
Oh wow, that's impressive.
And,
yeah.
And then but in reality it was like 2 days because we recorded
still,
at my, we recorded all the bed tracks like live with the band. I mean, and I don't want to sound arrogant, I want to say thank you for saying that's impressive. Like
because I mean I have people on here talking about spending weeks, right? I mean so doing it in a day or two is definitely much quicker than the sort of the average recording time.
Well, I had a plan how I wanted it to go, but then it's funny like how plans work when things don't work out, but then you kind of make sense of everything and it's all good.
Yeah.
So like we did it, and my initial idea was to do everything live, like the orchestration too, but that was just really crazy and wouldn't make any sense, and it just wouldn't work. So we did the beds live, like all of us, like drums, keys, me, guitar and vocals, and drums. I think I might have said it. I don't know. And then Micah played guitar on one song.
Cool. It
was pretty cool because he never heard the song in his life before. And then he just like ripped it. And then anyways, just to finish this thought, so we had the live session, and then like the next session was like at No Fun Club, and the idea was to do live overdubs, which is just having 3 to 5 people playing in their different areas all together with just playing to the track.
Okay.
And just to hopefully get that energy of kind of moving.
Yeah.
And feeling alive.
Yeah.
So,
well, I was going to ask you about the strings and that kind of stuff. I mean, with the orchestrations, like you said, you don't read music, so you can't handle that part. How do you convey that then to whoever you have working on that side of things? I mean, like, do you sort of leave that up to them, or do you have these ideas in your head of what you want this to sound like that you somehow kind of put across?
It's kind of a mix of both, because sometimes I'll have on guitar, piano, and it can be transcribed. But then also, I do, for example, like Sam Fournier, he's really incredible. So I just wanted to put it in his court a little bit of like, seeing what he would bring to me. And I know, like, one of the ways that I believe that I operate the best in a recording scenario is giving people that freedom.
Okay.
But then when I start hearing those ideas, I start getting a lot of ideas, and then we're kind of like rolling from there. And but some parts are, because I do a lot of I don't know, when I'm writing a song, I'm usually messing around with the really really like badly, but like trying to figure the parts out.
Okay. You know?
But yeah, so it's a mix. It's a mix of both.
Yeah.
How long have these songs been in the works? I mean, like, I guess the question is not so much that as how quickly do you turn around songs? Because I know you have other releases, right, as well. how long do these things need to percolate before you actually put them on record? And I imagine this may or may not have been influenced by the pandemic too. You know, just coming out of that, depending how old the songs are, I guess.
Right. This is probably the quickest turnaround I've ever had for any songs of mine.
Yep.
I mean, any release of mine, because I wrote all the songs in 2022 and early 2023 a little bit.
Okay.
And then recorded them the next year. And then last year, July, and then put it out this June. But I went on like a bit of a trip, a trip in spring of 2022 with kind of the intention to come back home with at least the start of an album.
Okay.
Or like, you know, I would have liked to have it written, but it's probably better that it took some time to write some of those songs. I feel like right now I'm kind of working through this process of catching up to saw, like this release aside, like, what I'm kind of working on next is like catching up on songs that I kind of let slip away.
Okay.
And so
are there a lot of those?
There's a lot of them, and I feel like I really lost my train of thought there. I just played basketball before this, so I'm pretty like worn out, but I'm trying to drink this coffee to keep me alert, you know. But
right on. No, it's all good. I was going to say, with this record, what has the reception been so far? I know it's still quite new, but I mean, people have obviously heard it. You've, like you said, you've done a bit of touring and stuff recently. What's the reaction to these songs?
I think people like them. I at shows, people seem to be very happy, which is nice.
It's a good thing, yeah. And,
I wouldn't say there's any like real downers on the album. Not that that's a bad thing, but other than that, I don't know. People have told me they liked it. It's getting some, I don't know, played on like places where I've never had my music played before, which is really cool.
That
like
is cool.
Sirius XM or CBC. I've never really had my music out there like that before, so it's kind of cool that it's getting out there, and hopefully, you know, the cool thing is it'll be out forever.
Yeah.
And you never know like how these songs, I don't know where they end up. It's kind of weird. Like I've had songs that one song in particular I wrote when I was like 18. And then last year, it like found me in such a weird way, like through somebody else. I don't know. It just made me think it's weird. Like these things that something I could write when I'm 18 finds me when I'm 25, now 26. And so this album, you know, it's really young. So hopefully it can keep, doing something. It's doing what it's got to be doing, which is just being out for people to hear. And hopefully like one person will be like, this is awesome.
That's what you want though, right? I mean, because it's released now. It's out of your control. People will find it from anywhere now because the internet sort of facilitates that. So yeah, like you're right. I think you could write a song on this record that 10 years from now someone discovers and uses it for something, and then it gets a whole new life. It's this weird kind of perpetual existence of all this stuff is kind of cool.
I think so.
And it's all over now, and it's all over now. Did anyhow.
So where can people hear this? Where can people find this record? I know that the way people consume music in 2024, there's no sort of one way you do it. I mean, some people are into physical media like me. Some people do only streaming. Some people will listen on YouTube or whatever. Like, where would you send someone to check out this record if you had a preference?
Probably Spotify.
Okay.
Or like Apple Music, just because it's the easiest for the listener.
I guess it's pretty heavily used, right? Those two apps are, yeah.
I mean, most people use them. Because I have a little more information about like the release on there, and so it might be interesting to like one person, or maybe five,
yeah,
or three.
But it's good that it's there for those three people.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it's important that it's there, you know, because somebody might think it's interesting. So you kind of have to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to honor. I mean, that's kind of like my thought with like playing shows too, because, you know, I've had the experience of playing to a lot of people and the experience of playing to like, the opposite,
yeah,
being not a lot of people, and you know, I've seen it with a lot of like I not to sound like I'm like a pro or anything, because whenever I start to feel like that, I always feel like, you know, but then I'm overconfident and then I'll be horrible, and then but I mean, it's like to always be learning, and so like I'll see a lot of actually I'll just make it about myself and not say anything bad. But you know, it's I believe it's you know, if there's like not a lot of people there, you gotta honor those
people.
they
showed up,
you have to honor them and play the hell out of your songs or whatever the hell you're doing, and if you don't think people are listening, I can guarantee that there's just one person listening,
and that's who you're doing it for.
And the same thing with the songs being out forever, it's like you don't know the power that you have, and you know, some people might like laugh and be like, but it's true
for sure.
And so
speaking of shows, I mean, the good thing about this being a podcast is it's it kind of lives on in perpetuity as well. Someone could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it a year from now, and at which point you maybe have new music out, maybe you're touring somewhere. What's the best way to keep track of what you're up to as far as shows and releases and that kind of stuff?
Instagram. I'm working on making a website though.
Okay.
So maybe I'll have that ready to go. I've got my domain name locked in.
Right on.
That's but Instagram would be the best way to keep up with what I'm doing.
Awesome.
For now.
And do you have anything sort of planned for the relatively near future, as far as touring on this record or anything like that?
Yeah. So I'm going to, I'm in more details as the summer progresses, but
sure.
Going in the fall, on a tour a bit longer than I've ever done before. I've only been on two in my life.
Okay.
This one will be a bit longer, and in October. And then I've already announced that, and I'm doing an album release show, kind of like, it's in November 22nd at the West End.
Okay.
And so I'm playing that with a backing band that'll be called the Beautiful Movers Orchestra, and it'll be quite a production.
Cool.
And I think that's about it. And I'm going to be working on hopefully recording another album this summer.
Oh, wow. That's
or at least
that's quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got about like 10 songs that I feel pretty good about, but they still need a lot of work in the writing of
sure.
them, but I feel I'm getting somewhere. Yep. So, but there's a lot of work to be done. And then I don't know when this will be up, but I'm playing a show on July 20th at the Blue Note Park.
Cool.
Which will be a lot of fun with, yes.
I'm not sure if this will be out by then. It might be. If it is out, or if it's out after that, hopefully you went to the show and enjoyed it. But yeah, no,
if
that's
you didn't get fucked up.
Sometimes I